Do you use the internet? Because if you do, the federal government has plans that will affect you. Not that those plans for a mandatory internet filter are getting very far at the moment. A trial of the technology was due to begin more than a month ago, but it hasn't gone ahead. There's no new start date announced, but there is increasing opposition to the plan, including from the Greens and the advocacy group Get Up, which is running a campaign against its introduction. The filter's supposed to block child pornography sites and other blacklisted sites considered inappropriate. That doesn't sound controversial, but it is contentious for several reasons, and you'll hear about them shortly. My guests have very different views about this. Jim Wallace from the Australian Christian Lobby, he's for it, and Mark Newton, who's an IT networking engineer and very much against it. Thank you both for joining me today. Mark, I want to begin with you. Could I get you to briefly recap what is actually being proposed? What would change should the plan for a mandatory internet filter go ahead?
Right. Currently, the government has a regulatory system for internet content, which involves classifying it into the usual sort of R, MA15+, and X classifications that exist for films. And content which the government deems to be of a classification that's high enough to be prohibited is notified to the vendors of filtering software that people can run on their PCs. The change that the government is proposing is to take that blacklist of sites that's currently notified to filtering software vendors and instead force ISPs to implement it in the core of their networks.
There's also a bit you can opt in or opt out of as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, and that's decidedly less controversial. There are already ISPs in the marketplace right now which offer that, so anybody in Australia can sign up for a filtered ISP and opt into a filtering service if they so desire. The controversial part comes from the intrusion on adults' right to determine what they can view and read for themselves, which the mandatory aspect of this policy represents.
Now, I mentioned that there were plans, and I'd imagine there still are plans to trial this in a live sense. What will actually happen?
Yeah. The trial, I think, is a little bit stillborn, partly because neither the government or the people who have been critiquing it actually understand what the government is trying to trial. There have already been a number of trials since the 1990s for these systems. CSIRO has looked at them, Ovum has looked at them, RMIT has looked at them, Enex Test Lab most recently looked at them, and the government released a report in July from them. Uniformly, all of these reports indicate that the systems block way more than they are supposed to block. They introduce performance problems on the internet. They push up the cost of delivering internet services. And from the civil liberties aspect, they, as I said before, represent an intrusion that the government currently doesn't have, which is the ability to control what people can and can't see on the internet.
So I know you have more objections than this, but to summarise so far, your problem is that A, this is wrong, and B, it makes the internet slow, wonky, inaccurate, and more expensive.
That's a fairly good summation.
I want to bring in Jim now. Jim Wallace, welcome to Life Matters.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Why do you think this kind of mandatory filtering is needed here in Australia?
Well, look, I think we know that a News Poll survey has shown that 93% of parents of 12 to 17-year-olds want automatic filtering. But I think it's very important to just take up the points that Mark has made there. I'm glad to see that Mark doesn't disagree with an opt-in system, which would mean that people, and this is the government's intention, people would be able to opt in to see legal material, that is pornographic material, if they decide to see this.
But that's only part of it. There's also
no, that's
part,
right.
There's also the
mandatory
part you have no choice at all about.
Yeah, exactly. But that mandatory blocking only applies to illegal material. Now, I would hope that Mark and the
have
ISPs
you seen the definition of legal
and
material?
The pornography industry.
Hang on, Mark.
Okay. It is very clear in the government's intent that that would only apply to illegal material, primarily that we're dealing here with child pornography. Now, I'm absolutely amazed that the ISPs, if they have any form of corporate social responsibility, would be opposed to that. We already have rules that apply to the distribution of, for instance, pornography in magazines, in movies. All the government is doing is applying exactly that same requirement, those same principles to the internet. Why should the internet be free of these, you know? Why should the internet be able to put on whatever it wants to?
Okay. Firstly, Jim, that news poll that you quote, I think that's 2003. I think it would be a rare person who hasn't changed their mind about something in the last 6 years. And B, that since then, the government's Net Alert program, which has now been axed, started by the previous administration, but it's been axed because of a lack of demand for it. So these people who say they don't want this stuff are not bothering to actually install their own filters.
Now, that was the Net Alert program was essentially scuppered by what was a well-advertised very doubtful breaking of the Net Alert system very early on. And so parents' confidence in it went straight away. And it just raises the need, it just confirms the need for the government to be able to put in place something on which parents can rely. I don't find at all persuasive that people change their mind, therefore you can't say that a 2003 news poll is authoritative today on this issue. Of course it is. We know that, for instance, 84% of children, of boys, and some 60% of girls actually have had experience where they've got unwanted and unsolicited pornography on the internet. Now, parents have a right to be protected from this, and we're protected from it in every other medium. So why shouldn't we be protected on the internet? It's just ridiculous. And I think a very important part of the context of this is you've got the pornography industry, which says we'll be broke in 5 years if this goes ahead. So their motivation for opposing this is pretty clear. And the ISPs, of course, are paid by the throughput, to a large extent, by the downloads that are made.
Jim,
so obviously they're concerned.
Jim, aren't you conflating two things here? Child pornography, which is illegal and everybody would argue against, and pornography, which is a legal industry.
Well, yes, but I'm saying that if you apply restrictions to this in the printed material, as we do, we require news agents to put it in a envelope. We require that children are not allowed to go into a movie unless accompanied by adult at particular ratings, then we need to apply exactly the same safeguards for children on the internet. That's all the government is doing. Now, when you say I'm conflating these, I'm just absolutely amazed that Mark should have said that he thinks it's disputable that people should be able to access illegal material. If the government said that child pornography is illegal, and that's all we're talking about in the mandatory area, the mandatory blocking, then of course people shouldn't be able to access it.
Okay, well, I just want to remind people, if you've just joined us here on Life Matters, and you can find out more from both of these gentlemen at our website, abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. My guests today are Jim Wallace, who's with the Australian Christian Lobby, and also Mark Newton, who's an IT network engineer and a fairly vociferous opponent of what the government is proposing to bring in terms of mandatory internet filtering. Mark, I'll come back to something in a moment, but I want to ask your response to what Jim just said. Isn't it fair to regulate the internet in the same way or in some way? I mean, isn't there some kind of point that there's some value in considering how we classify what's available through the internet?
Well, certainly, and I'd make the comment that Australia has already had this debate back in 1999, and we ended up with the Broadcasting Services Act, which already regulates internet content and provides it with a classification scheme. But that's not actually what we're talking about here. Jim Wallace is using a little bit of rhetorical sleight of hand here. I'm assuming he has actually looked at this issue enough to understand what he's talking about, and he would know that when he says that the government wishes to restrict, quote, illegal material, that isn't actually true. The government has come out over and over and over again saying that what they actually wish to restrict on a mandatory basis for adults is prohibited material. And the term prohibited material is defined under legislation, and here are the categories that it encompasses. Firstly, it encompasses material which has been refused classification by the Classification Board. Secondly, it includes material which is rated X18+, which is available by mail order from Canberra and the Northern Territory and can be freely viewed by any adult in Australia. It also includes material which is rated R18+, which is screened in public cinemas. It also includes any material which is sold on a commercial basis, which is MA15+. This is material which can be viewed by anybody on free-to-air television. That is the definition of prohibited content which the government keeps waving about. And I don't think it's a particularly honest debating tactic for Jim Wallace to conflate the terms illegal with prohibited, because they have very different meanings.
I have to take that up. That is absolute nonsense, and there's been no indication by the government. And if the government's used, you know, on one occasion, an inappropriate term, or a minister has, then that's quite unfortunate. But it is a clear intent of the government, and it's been made clear that it is not looking at mandatorily blocking anything that is legally available. It will be the people will have the opportunity, they can make the decision to opt in for anything that is legal. Now, clearly, refuse classification is illegal. Child pornography is illegal. And this is all that has been talked about in mandatory blocking.
Jim,
now,
can I might say, refuse classification. I want to move this on, gentlemen. Mm. I've been reading what both of you have had to say extensively, but in fact it consumed the last day and a half, I think. One of Mark's points, Jim, is that it's this filter won't work in several important ways. It's dead easy to set up a virtual private network. Lots of completely legitimate organisations have them. They're very easy to use and run. The ABC uses one, and I use it every day. This stuff, if you do set up one, this kind of stuff, this dangerous, illegal, appalling stuff like child pornography goes further underground. The filter also doesn't block peer-to-peer file sharing, and all of the child pornography rings rolled up so far in the world have been using that approach. So Mark's argument is this isn't going to work against the really dangerous people.
Yeah, but we're not about to stop the AFP's work against those really dangerous people on the peer-to-peer networks. And I might just correct you there, that the media release from the minister actually said that they can block, right, these ISP filters, even at this stage of the trial, which is only the second of three stages, can block those peer-to-peer networks, but it can't identify them, right? So it's quite a different thing. But the point is that we're not about to stop the AFP doing its work in trying to get hold of these people on the peer-to-peer networks. What we're doing is we're making, as is the government's intention with this trial and with ISP filtering, we are making the internet a safer environment for children. So these are two separate issues. It's not an either or. You don't go for one or the other. What you're doing is you're making the internet a safer environment for children. At the same time, you're keeping up and hopefully increasing your vigilance against people who push child pornography on their peer-to-peer networks.
Can I ask you then how you decide, or how it is decided, what will be blocked? Because as I understand it's basically a list compiled by the Communications and Media Authority, and from an ordinary internet user's point of view, one is not allowed to know what is being blocked.
Well, I'm sure these systems will be worked out, but I'm sure they'll parallel the systems we have now for what's made illegal and or legal and illegal in terms of magazines and movies and all other mediums. And I find it really, you know, it really is a very fictitious argument and a very dangerous one, a mischievous one, that proponents of the porn industry and also the ISPs are making at the moment. I mean, to put up, as GetUp did, that this will slow the internet by up to 87% to get people to sign a petition, it's just mischievous.
But GetUp are not proponents of the porn industry or working for the ISPs. They're a large organisation that are interested in all sorts of issues.
Well, yeah, but they're raising a petition based on something that says this will slow the internet by up to 87%. Now, that's like saying, if you look at the trial, that let's say it was a trial of refrigerators, and we found one refrigerator that didn't cool the meat. And then we'd say, right, okay, well, we now won't look at refrigeration. It's a failed technology because one refrigerator failed. I mean, it's clearly mischievous. It's nonsense. I would have signed their petition. And this is the sort of misinformation that we have going around. I mean, the stuff that Mark said there earlier, trying to make us believe that the government is about to block what are legally available materials is just nonsense. It's not the intention of the government at all. It was never the intention of the government. The government's intention is to ensure that children have a safer internet experience.
Mark, can I just come to you to wrap this up?
Sure, yeah.
This blacklist of 10,000 odd sites, that's what I've been reading. isn't that going to leak? Won't that get out?
Oh, absolutely.
It will get out, won't it?
Yeah, and I started making predictions about that back in October, and then I'd like to say much to my surprise, but actually it wasn't. The blacklists in Denmark and Thailand were leaked to the internet over
other
the Christmas
countries,
period.
Other countries have been trying this approach.
Western democracies have optional opt-in systems. Some of them are running with private blacklists. Some are running with government-sponsored blacklists. But Australia is the only country with a democracy that has yet proposed making it mandatory. There are non-democratic countries like China and Thailand and Iran that have mandatory systems. And they tend to be characterised as regimes that are more interested in controlling the population than freedom of speech.
Gentlemen, that is sadly where we have to leave. I do feel there is more in this, but we have to go. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Richard.
That's Jim Wallace, who's Managing Director of the Australian Christian Lobby, and which is a strong supporter of internet filters, as you've heard, and Mark Newton, who's an IT networking engineer and just as vociferously opposed to this mandatory internet filter. Our website has links to recent commentaries from both men. And look, while you're there, you might have something to say about it. abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. Is it fair enough? Or are you worried about censorship or it affecting the internet? Whole range of topics. You can get on the guest book. You can send us an email from there too. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. In a moment, we'll be hearing all about Charles Darwin's very interesting family life, as well as his small theory of evolution.